This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
6:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn on this hump day Wednesday. But it's starting to get to the point of the year where I love, man, because you walked outside this morning at 4:40-ish. And it was already 70 degrees.
I had a hoodie on this morning. It's sitting in my car seat right now because as soon as I walked out of the house, I'm like, do I feel like walking back in to just put this thing away? No, nope, just carry it with me.
Just carry it with you. That's right, man.
Nice out today.
Gorgeous. Supposed to be 80. Mm. High of 80.
I bet Ed's jealous.
It's warmer in Baltimore right now.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's 64 here, whatever, 68 up there.
Oh, man, I thought you were talking about this in the 50s. It was three or four degrees.
Come on. Three or four. Ain't no degrees.
Ain't no degrees around here. That's how it is in February. Ain't no degrees. Hey, man, we're going to talk about this later, but much later, so I bring it up now. What's up with John Halliburton, man?
Tyrese's dad? Man, I know he can't, but Giannis should have slapped him. Like, not even hit him. Just slap him.
But then you look like Giannis gave him, like, you know I could mess you up, right?
You know I could just drag, like, I will Captain Caveman your ass right now and drag you all over this place.
And your son.
Yeah.
Like, somebody said to me, oh, that's straight AAU. Let me tell you something. I coached AAU for 8 years. I've never seen a parent get on the floor after the game and talk trash to a kid. They talk trash to one another in the stands. I've never seen a parent get on the floor and come after a kid after a game.
I have, but I definitely played in some shady areas.
That's not AAU, though. That's summer ball.
I've seen some. Well, it all depends because you're right. You're right to a degree because, like, AAU, these teams do come together and play in these summer leagues.
But the sanctioned AAU events, you're not doing that.
No.
I've seen some things. And, look, we played down at the Dome. I saw some things there, but it would be unfair to label that AAU.
My team, I wasn't there for it, had a weekend tournament, so one of my buddies was assistant coach with myself, took him down to Virginia, and at the end of the game, my team was beating another team. One of my kids feigned like he was going to throw the ball in because the kid was in his face, like, you know, almost like what happened with Kobe Bryant and who was it?
For the Knicks.
When the guy was like faking like he was going to throw the ball at
and Kobe
him.
Kobe never blinked.
So was it Matt Barnes that did that?
Was it Matt Barnes? Okay.
Yeah. So, and Kobe didn't. So that's what happened. Except the kid that would have been Kobe in this situation punched my kid in the face.
Ooh.
And in this big fight, there's only like a minute left to go in the game. So they call the game. They kick both kids out. It's like he got hit in the face and you kicked him out. What was that? Yeah, man. He took his hand and hit that kid's fist with his face. It's like, come on, man.
But I thought you were talking about the fight that he had with Chris Childs.
No. Yeah, that was something else, too.
It was.
But anyway, like, you know, just looking at all these different things going on and the stupid stuff that happens in basketball, I still can't believe in the NBA somebody's dad. Like, I thought this would have been John Morant's dad first. Somebody's dad walked onto the floor.
How was he able to get onto the floor, Ed? I mean, let's talk about security here.
Well... I think the way the place is structured, too, is it makes it – I think basketball's the toughest one to keep people out. I don't know. I mean, obviously, someone could have stopped him. But when there's no barrier, like, you know, football, baseball, you have to jump over a wall. Hockey, you're not getting in because you got to climb glass. Basketball, you're just sitting in seats, and the floor is right here. So unless you have someone stationed every, you know, 10 feet, somebody's going to get on the floor.
Look at this. I mean, it's we're watching the video of it. It's so ridiculous.
He's face to face with him. The conversation from Giannis started off, the first words were don't you ever, if you read his lips. I don't know what was said after that, but he's not letting him go.
Well, they said Giannis unfollowed the Bucks last night on social media, which it's the new day and age of I'm mad we lost. You're the star. Carry him.
Hit me out. You're right about that, 100%. But I said to you 2 years ago, if I'm Giannis, I'm out of there. I'm not staying in Milwaukee, man. Giannis is a superstar who deserves to be someplace that can – uplift him like a... He lifted him to a championship. I did my job. Now let me go someplace that can carry me.
Well, then he forced the way to go get Damian Lillard, trying to create a super team, and it blew up in his damn face because you traded away the most underrated player in the league, and Drew Holiday, who went off to Boston and won what? A championship.
He's about to win another one.
Yeah.
He's fitting to win another one.
Yeah. And it's, again, like, I love Giannis.
I do, too.
I think he's a special player, but this is ultimately what happens with these guys where it's like, yeah, I've won. I've done enough. I want to win again, so now let's just create, like, who was it that went on ESPN? It was like, Giannis should team up with Luka. Like, what? This is all we're doing now? Like, this is AAU basketball. Let's keep creating these super teams that just don't work out. And again, like, would I love to see Luka and Giannis? Yeah, of course, I'm a Luka fan. But to
then
what?
Shut up and
to what degree?
Stop blocking it.
No, I mean, it's like, I'm just tired of this now. It's always like, oh, we can't beat them. Let's join them.
Then you and I can pitch in and get them tickets to L.A.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like L.A. You like Luka. We both win.
Yeah, see?
What up, Edward?
Not much, man. Still trying to get healthy. Watch a lot of sports. I was up late last night, man. Both the two of the playoff games went late. They went to double overtime. With Hurricanes Devils went to double overtime. Mm. So that took forever. Great game, though. And then the Golden Knights did as well. It was just a long night of miserable baseball, but great hockey.
can I give you a suggestion? Mm. You know, you're the older one, but I'm gonna give you a suggestion. Spend more of your time trying to get healthy than trying to get back here. We're good. We're good.
Sure,
no, I mean,
I know,
if you turn the radio on, unless we say you're in Sarasota, most people wouldn't even know it.
Of course,
spend all your energy trying to get healthy, man. We good. Show's good.
Yeah,
you know, all three of us are on.
Believe me.
I disagree. Get your lazy ass back here and get to work.
I am working.
I got three words for you. I got three words for you. And this doesn't count for Jared because he's messing around with you. And you know what I'm saying when I say this. Haters going to hate.
Yes. I know exactly what you mean.
Haters going to hate, man. Just keep it moving. Get healthy.
I got a hole in my back that just won't close. It's getting there. Getting there.
I got one in my butt that won't.
Yeah.
Well,
it's like an old napkin now.
You keep messing with it.
Messing with it.
That's gonna,
you know, it's like a pair of old gym shorts where the waistband gets all loose.
I just threw out three pairs of gym shorts
and the top of it gets rigid, you know. Hey. Let's go to Rice and Stell and get Kyle.
What's up, Kyle? You gotta wipe yourself for no reason.
There's no more wrinkles, it's just straight lines.
You there, Kyle?
Cool. Hey, what's up, fellas?
Not much, man. What's on your mind?
I was letting Ed cook just now. He was being fun. Hey, look, man. The AAU, my son played AAU, Rob, and it was funny you say that. We played a Philly team 2 weekends ago.
Uh-huh.
And it was the female, man, who after the game, she was mad at our little point guard, and she kept talking smack. They had to escort the lady out. She was so pissed off.
I'm not denying that parents talk smack at AAU. They do that in high school. Giannis is not worried about Halliburton's dad being in the stands talking smack. I'm talking about you.
He's coming on the floor.
He's on the floor. He's closer to him right now than he was to Jeremy. I'm not worried about you talking.
That's
crazy. Yeah, you come. Right. I've never seen a parent come after a kid on the floor in an AAU.
I love that nobody can get in and separate him because the cameramen are all circled around it, blocking everybody off.
What's
by the way, Jeremy, Giannis Antetokounmpo, I think he should go to Chicago, man.
Of course you do.
Go ahead, package your deal. No, listen. Think about the young team in Chicago, no. Jeremy, and I'm going to leave it at that.
I'm thinking about the young team in Chicago. What is he going to win in Chicago? That's another situation for him to go and uplift somebody else. Yeah. He needs to go somewhere that they only need him to win.
Man, they get Giannis. Let's be honest. They're going from that 10 seed to the 7 seed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What's he talking about?
And move up three spots.
Go to Chicago, man. You might as well stay in Milwaukee. At least that's yours.
This whole Giannis thing is the best example of try and see.
I wish he would have Hawk smashed Halliburton's
dad. That's what I mean.
Dad.
Yeah. Like, go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You want to be a jackass? Here. Mess around and find out. Here's what happened. And again, like the same point that you're talking about, Halliburton's been on this kick because he was voted the most overrated player in the league by his teammates.
Right.
So every time they win, and he's had some amazing wins, but you just beat up and hit a game winner to sweep or knock out this Bucks team. And the first thing you want to do is go on Twitter and say, overrated, overrated. Like he's, and again, if it's inspiring him, great. But you're in a damn playoff. You shouldn't need anything to inspire you.
410-583-1057 is the number. World is Stupid at 7 o'clock. A little bit later on the show, we got Steve Molesky, Jim Duquette in for you to talk some baseball. But on the other side, we got to do it. It happened last night, so we're going to recap it. Orioles baseball right here on The Fan.
On this Tuesday night, April 29th, and Grisham whacks a cutter to right field, and that is not a very nice welcome back for Kyle Gibson. Now Aaron Judge sends the next pitch to deep right field, and that ball's gone. Riced to right field. That ball is belted. That ball is gone. Tough to watch for Gibby tonight. Orioles have been really looking forward to his return. Clubhouse presence, somebody they hope would eat innings. And he's feeling the sting of a night where he didn't have his command. Gives up 9 and leaves with a couple on base.
Now, out of the 11 hits he gave up, correct me if I'm wrong, but weren't 10 of them extra base hits or was it 9 extra base hits? He didn't have a lot of, he didn't give up a lot of singles. He gave up 5 home runs, a triple, a couple of doubles. It was not, put it this way, it wasn't any suspense to this one. Mm. This was a butt whip. In fact, Rodon had
six home runs.
I thought he gave up 5. They gave him 6
overall,
the team.
Yeah.
Rodon had a no-hitter through 5 innings on the other side, so we weren't getting anybody out, but we were getting out. It was just a horrible game.
Yeah, I've told you before, like a lot of times at night I put my phone up, right, because my TV is about, I don't know, 15 seconds behind the push notifications I get on my phone. So I'm sitting there, my phone vibrates, and I'm like, oh, damn, it just says the Yankees. Oh, there it is. He hit a home run. I looked back down, and it went off again, and I went, what the hell is – he gave up back-to-back jacks. And then I'm getting ready. I was like, this is ridiculous. And then all of a sudden, my phone went off again, and I'm like, who's texting me? It's the goddamn Orioles telling me they hit another home run. So, like, is he out with neck soreness next game from turning around and looking over the wall?
Oh, my gosh. It was brutal.
Did you feel bad for him? Like when it started, because like Gibson's working his way back and coming out, like I was like, oh.
Felt bad for him.
Yeah.
Felt bad for him.
Yeah, I think he was tipping his pitches.
There was 22,000 people there. I would say at least, what, 15,000 Oriole fans? That's who I felt bad for. What do you feel bad for him for?
Oh, you thought there was 20-some thousand people and 15,000 of them are Oriole fans at a Yankee Oriole game?
It wasn't a huge Yankee contingent. Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't. Okay. Normally, that's normally weekend.
Yeah,
it was better than 50%. Put it that way, Oriole fans. No, I ain't feel sorry for him. No, he's getting. You know what minimum wage is in baseball? He's not making it.
I was thinking after he gave up those 4 home runs that pitchers should now have to autograph every baseball in the game. So whenever a fan gets it, he's got the memory of, oh yeah, Kyle Gibson threw this one. He threw this one too.
On the flip side, they had 3 hits. Hits.
Yeah, but those 3 hits were amazing, Ed.
3 hits. So Orioles didn't lose 15-9. They didn't lose 15-6. They lost 15-3. That means both sides failed last night.
Yeah, again. Well, 3 hits. It was just, when you look at the scoring summary, it's like Grisham homer to right, Judge homer to right, Rice homer to right, Bellinger homer to right. Hope he doubled it. That's the first inning.
That's what I'm saying. How many singles did he give up out of the 11 hits?
It's like no hits. I get 3 hits, going to hit a home run.
I mean, we need to move the walls back.
Yeah.
To Towson.
Yeah, Philadelphia.
I thank God they won the first game. Orioles with a chance to win the series today.
Yeah. Who was it that said that on social media? Was it Palmer or somebody? Like somebody was questioning him. He's like, look, even as bad as yesterday was, you can still come back and win the series today. And I know it doesn't feel great, but God, they had 3 runs, 3 hits, and just to top it all off, they had 3 errors. Yeah. We weren't good in any facet of the game.
Oh, my gosh. That's the thing that gets me. The defense is not that great this year.
And now they got to go to Delaware and get more baseball. Man.
Oh, my goodness, man. You got to laugh, because if not, you'll cry.
Yeah, there is no laughter like the laughter that should be crying. My friend's favorite quote, and it's so true.
But honestly, I mean, I'm not just trying to be Pollyanna over here. Orioles with a chance to win the series today. They're throwing out your boy, Cookie Carrasco. The Yankees are.
He sucks.
Exactly.
I got a sweet tooth. I want some cookies.
So the Orioles have a chance to win the series. I'm not being super positive here.
We got Povich coming out, right?
Yeah.
Hey, if you can't hit Cookie Carrasco, and he's such a look, he was one of the best pitchers when he was at his peak. He was so good. The cancer diagnosis, all the things that happened. Wonderful person. Send his ass home with a loss, man. Just if they can't hit him today, just cancel the season. You can't
let's
hit
not do that. let's not do that.
Nobody works anymore. Nobody for the Orioles is getting paid anymore. Let's just cancel the season, Rob.
I think it would be awesome. They lose 15-3 last night, and they come back and beat the Yankees and win the series. that's such a baseball thing to do, isn't it?
I haven't even looked at the numbers.
That would be great,
yeah. Do you think the Yankees are favorite today? Did you look at it?
Yeah, I did.
They are, yeah.
Yeah, they are. Let's go to Jay in Baltimore.
You know what the over-under is?
Is it 10 again?
10.5.
Jesus.
What's up, Jay?
My question is, why do they keep moving the wall back and forth? Like, if they moved it forward, wouldn't you expect, like, majority of the good hitters to hit a home run since they moved it closer?
Which one you want us to ask? Why they do it? Which one you want us to ask? Why they do it or what we think the results should be? I mean, I can tell you why they did it. They did it initially because they had a bunch of young pitchers and they didn't want the confidence to get shattered by giving up a lot of home runs. It worked. But what it did, it was also killing batters like, at the time, Trey Mancini, we thought it was a big problem for Mountcastle. Now, should they be hitting more home runs over left field wall? Yeah, Mountcastle should be, but he's only has one right now. So that's why they did it. And you're right. They should be hitting more home runs to left field, but they're not. Not hitting, you know, a whole lot of home runs anywhere right now.
Well, yeah, to that point. But again, like the whole moving the wall in and out, like to your point, there's also something
strategic
to be said. Yeah, I mean, strategic for pitchers when you're looking at the way that things were working, the right-handed power of some of the other teams. I thought it made a ton of sense. But then you also start to think about it. It's like, are we going to get any right-handed free agents that want to come in here and swing at that damn thing?
So they moved it in.
Move it in a little bit. So it's, again, I always get caught up in this when people, like the whole Aaron Judge thing last year, build a park. Hey, jackass, every park gets built. They move things around. They redevelop certain areas. They add stuff to it. They move stuff out.
That was such an entitled thing to say. You know, I'm Aaron Judge. I don't understand. Come on, dude. How many home runs did you have that shouldn't be home runs?
In your stadium. Yeah. You want to go over those? Yeah. How many times have we seen only a home run in Yankee Stadium?
Many times.
Yeah.
410-583-1057 is the number. World of Stupid at 7 o'clock, but on the other side. Position players held a players only meeting on Tuesday to discuss plate approach and to air it out a little. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 6:32 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
It's a great rap song.
Presented by your Baltimore area Jiffy Lube location. Wasn't she the first one to rap in a pop song?
Yeah. Debbie Harry?
Yeah. Fab Five Freddy on everybody's mind.
Yeah, this is what I love though, because she was really trying to push a lot of different types of music.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite things about this is when KRS-One redid this.
Yeah.
And, oh, God, it's such a good song.
Was it? I think he did it on the anniversary of the song.
Did he?
Yeah, I think it was like, was it 25? It was some kind of homage to that song, the reason why he did it. 410-583-1057 is the number. Tuesday, the Orioles had a position players-only meeting to air things out a little bit, considering how last night went.
What they tell them they might be pitching really later on in the game? Is that what they we're meeting? Hey, some of you guys get your arms warmed up. I don't know if you've seen our pitching lately. Oh,
you think the meeting was necessary,
Ed?
I would say so. I would think so. I mean, when you have things going in a certain way, I think it's good to just have a discussion amongst yourself. I mean, just think about us. If there's something that we didn't think was working, should we just do it ourselves, or should we bring in management and other people? I would just do it among ourselves.
Yeah, I agree. Because you don't know. I mean, look, it's on us. It's not on management right now.
You're living it. You know what's happening.
The lack of productivity is on the players, ultimately. Yeah. The manager get blamed, the front office people get blamed, but we know it's on the players, man.
So they had the meeting yesterday?
Yes.
It wasn't a good meeting. They got three hits. And only did
it was
they,
that no, I'm sorry, it was Monday.
Yeah, Well, no, like in all seriousness, like looking at, I think those things do need to happen. Like you heard that quote from Brandon Hyde coming in about or in the update. No, I didn't talk to him after last night's game. These are professionals. They know what they need to do. Like they need to come in and try to win the series. As bad as yesterday was, it was one loss, you know.
I will say that's a legit question by the reporter because there are times where Hyde does address them after the game.
I think it's a fair question. Yeah. But, you know, like, again, going back to this, and there's so many times where we say that's baseball or and people are like, oh, come on, that's a cop-out. There's weird things that happen. It's a really – I don't think there's any sport quite like this sport.
No, it's not. There is none. And I'm glad Joe – got it back on track because you're right, Joe. It was Monday. So, for those of you, so they have a meeting then and they had three hits and three. No, they had a meeting Monday, came out and beat the Yankees, and you saw the emotion that was expressed by Ryan O'Hearn, who, by the way,
the 3-run homer
led the meeting.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I'd say too is can we have that meeting today before the game?
So you can win the series?
Yeah.
Let's meet every day.
Let's just air it out and bitch about everything that's wrong. Sometimes you know it. Like, people need that. There are a lot of people that don't want to say things in certain settings, and you almost need it to get ugly before it can get better, which means you're probably in that meeting, not necessarily calling out anyone directly, but if that shoe fits, lace it up and wear it then. Because you can look at it and hear him and go, oh, damn, he's talking about me. You know, but it's all of, like, who is actually playing well? I saw somebody tweeted out, They put out Gunner, Adley, Westberg, who else am I? There's somebody else in there. It said, who would have thought that these guys would be hitting like this in April? That all of this would happen at the same time.
Yeah.
And again, it said, so is there something wrong with the message? Is it just bad timing? Like, what is going on?
Let's go to Baltimore and get Ryan. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I had a comment on the meeting, and then I had a question for you guys. So I'm really glad that the players did this, especially that it was Cedric and O'Hearn, the two guys that have legitimately faced adversity in the major leagues. You know, O'Hearn with Kansas City when they were bad, and then Mullins with us during the rebuild. And, you know, I think you guys touched on it that, you know, it's on the players, not on management, which leads me to my question. You know, there's been a lot of talk of Brandon Hyde losing his job, and we already know that there's been a lack of leadership in the clubhouse. How do you think that?
How do you know it's a lack of leadership? Hold on, Ryan. How do you know it's a lack of leadership in the clubhouse?
Well, I'll say I don't know there's
not a lack of leadership. You started off the conversation by saying two players held a position only meeting, so there's not a lack of leadership if the players are calling the meeting. That right there is your leadership. So, I mean, the Brandon Hyde thing, I mean, that's something generated by fans. I don't know whether or not Brandon Hyde is on the hot seat. You would think after the start that he had right now.
He has to be.
11-18, that's a legitimate concern. It is. But what's not legitimate is there's a lack of leadership in the clubhouse. There's a lack of productivity in the lineup.
It's weird when people say, like, oh, so I'm saying Brandon Hyde is on the hot seat. And understanding what I'm saying is meaning that if things keep going this way,
right,
then all of a sudden – you almost feel like you have to make some sort of move.
I agree with you.
And the easiest thing to do is you start moving out position coaches or you move out the manager and find a new
one. Where did the hitting coach come from? From within, right?
Yeah. Was it from the minors and backup or was he around here? Anyway.
I'm not saying the problem is the hitting coach, but if you're going to change something, what's wrong right now? You got the hitters for the most part that you want.
But you know how
shake something up from the outside. I mean, if you keep promoting from within, you're still recycling the same philosophy.
Yeah. Well, the other
thing, the new guy you bring in is telling the same thing the other guy does. Is it his voice that you're not picking up on, or is it the philosophy?
Well,
I just think you got a bunch of players who aren't productive right now.
Ed, I'd sit here and say like 99% of the time, or I don't even know what the percentage is, it's a high number. The hitting coach isn't the problem.
No,
I'm sure that there is an issue.
I don't think he is right now.
Yeah. I'm sure there's an issue on some teams where it's like, man, I don't like this effing guy. We need to get him out of here. Because we've heard that about, God, who was the pitching coach here? Kranitz? That all the pitchers hated?
Nobody liked him. But
they all
reason.
Hated him.
They had reason.
But again,
you'd be
like,
texting me at 2 o'clock in the morning calling me what?
Yeah. Well, that's like, it's the same thing that I'm saying. Like, when you get to that point, it's not just about what someone's doing, but you can have an incident where players just don't like the guy that they're technically working for.
Let's go to Donnie and get in Dundalk. What's up, Donnie?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing good, thanks. I just wanted to make a comment. So the players' meeting, I think that was a good call by Mullins and by O'Hearn. I was taking a look at some of the underlying stats for like Adley, for Rutschman, or excuse me, for Mountcastle, for Gunner. All of their batting average on balls in play is like they're hovering right at the 200 line. So they're not even within like the league average. They're right around 300.
Yeah.
So it's just some bad luck. It'll be okay. And, you know, the Kyle Gibson start, Kyle Gibson threw 30 plus starts for us, 200 plus innings at an ERA under 5. I would take that any day, and I think he's just kind of getting warmed up. Have a good day, guys.
Thank you. Let's go to Mike in Nottingham. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Rob. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I just wanted to make the comment about when I was a kid, I remember Frank Robinson had the kangaroo court, and he was calling them together all the time, you know, to just keep the unity together. And I thought these guys actually had a lot of that, you know, camaraderie and rah-rah and all that. But, you know, that's easier to happen when you're winning than when you're losing. And the question I have is, with all the analytics, why is it that there was a time in Oriole history where they really – the pitching coaches knew what they were doing and they could pitch? I mean, they turned around that guy, Steve Stone. Mike Cuellar wasn't that much in Houston, but he comes to Baltimore. McGregor, Flanagan.
Can I stop you for a second, Mike? Because we could also name pitchers in that era that they didn't turn around. Felix Bautista, they turned around. Cano, they turned around. I mean, they turned pitchers around here. Those guys were not successful before they got here. So they're doing the same thing. I mean, we could easily name the guys from yesteryear, but we can also name some guys that didn't pan out. You know what I mean? So they brought in guys, Jeremy, that weren't successful before. You got one of the game's most dominant closers. Look at his minor league numbers before.
Yeah, I think if you're gonna sit here and talk about guys from yesteryear, we're gonna need to bring Ed in for this since he saw them. How long ago was yesteryear, Ed? But you're like, again, everybody
it was,
has.
It was close to. I remember. It was. I remember my first Christmas because it was the first Christmas.
And it was, so you were there for there. The first Noel.
Happy birthday, yes. Jesus!
You were there for the first Noel.
He was one of the wise men. He brought myrrh.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, we don't talk about a guy like Bill Swaggerty. What'd they do for him?
Yeah.
You know, you don't bring him up because he's not successful. We always bring up the success stories from Al Glory days and make it seem like it was all good. There were guys in the Orioles organization, pitchers, who didn't pan out.
Mm-hmm.
If you got it, then that's easy for me to turn. It's not easy, but I can turn it around for you. If you don't have it, you don't have it.
So let me ask you this, though. With social media and the fact that everything's readily available, like when you were a kid, how often were you find out what was going on at AA and AAA?
I didn't.
And now you know the game. Like I saw Trevor Rogers got his ass lit up at AAA last night, you know?
I didn't know that. They told me on the telecast. Edge NHL recap at 7:15, but on the other side, Grayson Rodriguez told the guys on Foul Ball there's no hard calendar on his return from injury. Probably not what you wanted to hear right now, right? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ed Norris does the hockey at 7:15. Jeremy Kahn gets stupid at 7 o'clock. But right now, Grayson Rodriguez is delivering bad news. He told the people from Foul Territory there's no, quote unquote, hard calendar for his return.
Right now, obviously, don't really know anything. There's not really a hard calendar. I think with a kind of a lat soft tissue injury, I think a lot of it goes off how you feel being asymptomatic. I think, you know, you have to hit step one to get to step two. You know, I think if you start really looking ahead, I don't know. Sometimes it doesn't always work out the way you want it to. But like I'm saying, you know, you don't want to get a timetable in your head that way. You know, you start worrying about 4, 5, 6 weeks down the road when you need to be worried about today. And then when tomorrow gets here, you start focusing on tomorrow. That's kind of the mindset that I've been in that really helps me through a time like this. Because obviously, you know, nobody wants to be on the IL. But, you know, importantly, you got to take it one step at a time, one day at a time, doing everything you can, you know, today to make yourself better for tomorrow. And then, you know, if tomorrow, you know, means you get to pick up the baseball, then great. If not, you know, you keep doing your steps until you get there.
Jeremy, does it sound like he's trying to be focused or is he being pessimistic?
I just think he's not trying to give out too much information. Personally, like if I'm him, like I don't know that I can be optimistic about this right now because, yeah, I mean, going for the second opinion, hearing what you want to say. So you get it from the second doctor. He tells you what you want to hear. The first doctor didn't. Who's right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to find out which one's right, you know, like at some point, because if this goes on and he tries to make the comeback and boom, it's gone, and now he's missing part of next year, we're dealing with the Kyle Bradish situation all over again.
Ed, I think he's trying to be more focused than anything. I'm not going to worry about a hard timetable right now because tomorrow I have work to do. It sounds to me it's more focused than it is pessimistic.
Yeah, I think it was pessimistic. I just think he's given an explanation. And
yeah.
This is what pisses me off with a lot of people. You mentioned this as we opened the show. Hate is going to hate. You know, if you give an explanation for what's going on, especially when you're injured like this, people, they call it an excuse. It's not an excuse. It's an explanation. This is what's going on. He sounds like he's focused. He's very matter of fact and doing a smart thing. You don't want to rush yourself back. If you're not healthy, if you're not healed, you can't play. You shouldn't play because it's going to happen again. So what's the point? We get him back for 2 weeks and he's gone for the rest of the season. So to me, it's just, you know, I hate the expression, but it is what it is.
And again, like, where do you go with this? Because my whole thing is this season isn't lost quite yet, even though a lot of people feel like it is. And if Grayson, if you're looking at this outlook and there's not some sliver of light of him pitching this year,
shut it down then.
I mean, I don't know what they're thinking behind the scenes, and they're not going to tell us everything that's going on, but I haven't liked anything I've heard about Grayson. Including this, when it comes out, it's like, we kind of know that there's not a timetable because they don't know the severity of this injury. They don't know where this is coming from, why it's happening, and they're trying to figure that out. And is this something where it's inevitable that he's going to have Tommy John surgery at some point, or is this something that heals on its own?
I think it is.
I do too. I think it's the same thing as Garrett Cole last year.
I think, when you ask the question, when do you return, and you don't have the answer, you go with it's not a hard timetable. And I think that's what we have to keep in mind. He was asked that question. That wasn't a volunteer information. Yeah. And if I don't know, I don't know. I don't want to make anything up to you. I don't want to mislead you or the fans into thinking that I know when to know. I don't know. This thing has a mind of its own. He says soft tissue, and he's right. Those soft tissue injuries, you don't dictate them, they dictate you.
I thought it would have been great if Michael Eyes was in the room like Bill Belichick's girlfriend just yelling, "We're not going to talk about that! When are you coming back? We're not talking about it." No, it's not happening.
That was outstanding.
There's so much coming out on that, too.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I think my initial reaction to everything was correct about high-end escorts and different things. I don't know. Allegedly.
If he doesn't come back anytime soon, then what are your thoughts on the pitching staff? Either one of you. If he doesn't come back. Because for me, Zach Eflin, I always thought would be the first back.
So can I tell you why? The reason I liked this team coming into this season, even with some of the things that were going on, is with Eflin and Grayson, I thought you could get to the certain point that you needed to when Bradish comes back.
Same here.
And then even on top of that, I thought there was a chance you might make another move unless Sagano or somebody else is like, hey, they're pitching really well. You don't have to.
But unfortunately, even if they were here, they would have to have ERAs of 2.5.
Yeah.
The way we're scoring.
Well, like when people are talking about it, it's like, oh, if you didn't let Burns walk, yeah, it's not changing as much as you guys think. When you go look at players' war, that tells you the wins above replacement. Like somebody coming
that's
in.
Analytics. People don't believe that.
It's not. Well, I mean, that's what war tells you. That's what it's good for. But like when you come down to it and you start looking at it, yeah, the team would be better if you had better starting pitching and the injuries didn't happen. But would they have been willing to make that move at the trade deadline to better this team had the guys been healthy? Or is this another situation where you think what we have is good enough, and then you're just adding other pieces, bullpen arm, another right-handed bat? So
what gets me is, man, we talk about analytics, and what I mean, we, not on the show, but in this area, like it's something foreign. Like it's just, you punch everything in the computer, you come out with something. I go back to the caller who said, you know, they use all these analytics now. I remember back in the day when they used to turn pitchers' careers around. Jeremy, what were they using to turn pitchers' careers around back then? Analytics.
Well, yeah, I mean,
but all it is information. It's analytics.
But what you told the story the other day of Gibson going to Santander and just handing him the iPad, right?
Yeah.
Like, hey, go look, or the tablet, go look at this. And what's he looking at? They didn't have tablets 30 years ago to look at this stuff. They're looking analytically and seeing what's going on with the swing.
They were just recently allowed in baseball in the dugout. When was that? Was that 5 years ago, maybe?
Probably because of the Apple Watch and all
right.
The other stuff.
They just recently, within not even a decade, in the dugout. So, yeah, this is all new stuff. And they use, you would be foolish, Ed, not to use all the information that's given to you to solve the problem.
Absolutely. You don't have to, you don't have to take it as, you know, an order. Just take the information and make a decision. But it's nice to have as much intelligence as you can get. It's pretty much with any business. So, yeah, why wouldn't you? Use any technology available.
Steve Molesky joins us at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, we get stupid with Jeremy Kahn.
Yeah, we're going to talk about a Florida nurse who had sex with her 15-year-old stepson and lost her medical license. Ed, you're down there. We'll have to get you to investigate this.
I will.
I'm going to beat up the left and the right. Lindsey Graham suggested that Donald Trump should be the next pope, and Trump said he'd like to be the next pope. We'll talk about that. And on the other side, why are you people bitching about Saquon Barkley going to the White House? Shut up. It's so stupid. And one thing that Rob's been doing, and he's been taking care of himself, is that doctors are now saying you should go on fart walks. I will explain in the world of stupid.
Propels you.